Way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
All right, you remember how to do this? All right, we're good. Sound like your motorcycle.
Me.
Have you ridden your big one?
Well, quite a bit.
Have you put it away for the year?
It'll just stay in my garage.
In your storage unit?
No, I'm getting rid of it.
The motorcycle?
No, the storage unit.
Oh. Storage units come and go. Motorcycles are forever.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm a biker now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the...
You're going to wear your Harley Davidson shirt to
the
church.
The button-up dress shirt that you're wearing really...
Yeah, half the people at Sturgis are like CPAs.
Oh. Half of them are?
Cosplaying as a biker.
Oh, so you're doing it for looks. I see.
No, I'm just saying.
You want to hang out with
the big, tough biker thing.
Mr. Bank President now needs to, like, oh, well, I have a wild side. I can drive 55.
Greta hop on the back and go for rides?
No, she hasn't yet.
She's scared.
Is there like a backstop?
Yeah.
Well, then I don't see what's wrong.
I don't think she's worried about going. Helmet. I don't think she's worried about going off the back. I think she's worried about laying down on one of the sides.
I'm not gonna lay it down.
Well, I'll tell you this: riding two up is a different deal because your passenger's natural inclination is to fight the curve, and yeah, it's and if they don't know how to ride in the back, you're like, woman. Well, you're a biker, so you probably use another adjective, but
yeah, I got to get one of those shirts. You know, if you can read this, Greta fell off.
Well, that will complement your gas, grass, or ass. No one rides free bumper sticker. So, I'm looking forward to that addition to your repertoire. Well, welcome episode number 42. We should probably kick it off. For the real this time. And
you're sure it's 42?
Yes.
You don't have a paper trail proving it's 42.
No, I don't, but I do have, I did actually go back and count. So, and I'd use both hands and both feet several times, but welcome ladies and gentlemen to episode 42 of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona. Along with me as always are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonz and Mitch Geese.
Today we're going to try something a little different. Well, the same as the last couple weeks. Instead of Wayne endlessly peddling his wares, we're going to give you, the listener, a chance to determine our worth.
I have more wares to peddle.
Next time.
Okay.
We've had a few people ask us how they can contribute to our show. We are happy to oblige. So if this show has brought you any sort of joy or entertainment, send us some beer money by Venmo at DBA Pod or by clicking the link in the show notes.
You know, Wayne, before we went live, was just saying, oh, it's so nice to not have the AC on so we don't have that background noise. And now he's already dobbing sweat off of his brow.
Well, first off, it's 68 degrees in here. Second off, which
will bring any man just to sweat.
Second off,
practically a sauna.
I've got the Age of Leviathan, 11.9% alcohol by volume.
And
I'm about halfway
through. Malt liquor.
So it's, I'm starting to. I got the oh boy is going on right now. Oh boy.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Let's not get interesting.
Segment 3 will be a doozy when I start naming
that's
names.
It's like three Sams.
That's pretty good.
Aaron falls asleep in the chair after three Sams.
After four, I fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
So I'd have to bring the fan over here, even though we were just lamenting. It's right behind
you. Do you need some gold bond? What? Come on.
No, that's a daily occurrence. That doesn't stop until the snow flies. But we were just commenting about how nice it is now to have the air conditioner. We don't have to work so hard. We sound so much more professional, despite the content. You know, this is just doing all right.
Oh, yeah. Except for you.
I'll be fine.
Now you have a little napkin to dab.
The only guy wearing shorts and short sleeves.
Yeah, shorts and a t-shirt.
And I got my sweatshirt on.
I wasn't sweating before I started to drink this. I'll just say that.
Oh, yep. That's what it is.
Stout with ruby chocolate, raspberry, lactose, and vanilla. Oh, my wife's going to be angry.
Oh, it has lactose in it?
Yes, because that is not...
Why would they add that?
For fun?
I'll wait till these guys drink this.
Oh, my God. I'm drunk and have gas. Which it actually does remind me of a story. Not the drunken gas part. But.
Okay, thank you. I was about to stop you there. Enough.
But no, the lactose part. So my daughter has... you know, she's in kindergarten, and she's had a couple of instances now where she's been sent to the nurse's office after lunch, and she's complaining of an owie tum tum, and we're trying to figure out what it is.
One of those guys at work.
Yep. Except for he's not a bro, or she's not a bro.
Nope.
And, or 24, right? And you know, so we're trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, there's a couple times where she's actually had accidents at school, you know, because it was when you're coming around third and it's...
I just can't even imagine.
All right, anyway.
So it turns into a situation and you've got backup clothes and you've got the shame of the dad of having to go through this. And by go through this, I mean hear it from my wife. And I think... We've narrowed it down now. She has inherited my lactose intolerance.
Because
At home, we drink the almond milk. And I know that our kids...
Oh,
you are so...
Show me how to milk an almond.
You are so out in left field. So you and almond milk and your Subaru and this other stuff you're into now.
No.
I just move out to South Ninth and you're all
highfalutin. I've got enough gas naturally. I don't need to introduce substances that help increase that.
Doesn't bother me.
No, I love milk.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Okay. It doesn't
bother. Toughen up a little bit.
You have a good stern talking to with your bowels.
Now, wait a second. I've got an iron constitution.
You make a fair point. Okay. Moving on.
Okay. So Ava can't have milk or any of the fun things made from milk.
Well, she can.
Ice cream. Oh, man.
No, she can't. Like, she can. It's just... So we find out, she's like, all right, she has milk with her oatmeal in the morning. Oops. Then she has milk at snack time. Then she has milk at lunch. And that's way more milk than what she would have if she were at home. She would just have the milk during the oatmeal, and then that would be the end of it, because it would be, like, the almond milk. And, so that's kind of the consensus that us and the school nurse have come to is... And she's excited because she gets...
And WebMD.
Yeah, well, probably a little internet search.
Now, what, do they give her Mountain Dew instead?
It was either that or Four Loko. We're gonna start early, but no. You actually have to sign a waiver from, like, the state to get almond milk. Like, it,
good. That's the way it should be.
I'm sorry. Well, yeah. It's not almond milk. It's soy milk. But yeah, you actually have to sign a document to the state of Iowa.
# support our farmers.
Well, if you're going to spend my tax dollars on your hippie bullshit, then yeah, you should have to sign a waiver.
I don't know. The way that corn prices are going, they might be about the same price here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not necessarily a correlation. No, grow soy, so there's nothing wrong with soy milk. We don't grow freaking almonds here, though. Let me tell you.
All right. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Right. If an enemy of an enemy is my friend, then yeah, we can be friends. That's fine. Yeah. But your what's going to be end up being $7 corn is probably telling of where you're coming from.
You see downward pressure. Bearish pressure on the market.
Basically $5 right now today. So,
which one was the last time it was $5?
2013? Yeah, 13 into 14.
Yeah.
Place to be until you start to see inputs increasing like that.
I kind of pulled that out of my ass. I'm not going to lie.
No, you don't say.
But I was glad that I felt I was right.
That's not unusual.
I'm trying to figure out how to take that.
pick it well.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it well as I can. But the, you know, I heard something today, like now, you know, apparently we must export so much grain that, you know, we're going to be affected by the fact that we can, like these ships that are off of port that can't bring the grain to these other countries is going to cause an issue, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's upward or downward pressure, but
right now
they still have to have it. So
we export China bought
beans today.
We export so much propane that there's not enough to go around within the states. That ship loads of propane are being bought back so they don't on ships. Shiploads.
Okay.
Shiploads and shiploads of propane are being bought back so they don't leave our shores. But so much is leaving to Asia. It's unreal. And yet here we sit with the lowest inventories we've had in a long time and propane has spiked.
Well, and think we had that whole Bakken pipeline.
Yeah, and this is propane is a byproduct from the refinery.
So they're refining less, which means there's less propane, right?
They're not refining less.
I don't think
less.
They're refining any less.
So you think that it's just the same volume being...
Well, I think you're referring to the wrong pipeline, first of all, right?
So what happened, too, was
during oil fields and
the heavy crude and... So
what's the one that goes through here?
It's the Dakota Access.
Yes. Yes,
the crude oil refining within the United States dropped extremely low because nobody was driving for how many months?
True.
And now we've
got low inventories. But it doesn't help that Joe Biden
he turned that switch to
turn
that dial to turn the gas up.
Well, no, he did shut it down though, didn't he? I mean, he did. That was one of the first.
The Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah,
it was. Well, it wasn't even online yet, though.
But they were digging it.
Yeah.
So, but then, and that's that's the thing that doesn't allow something that could have happened within 5 years. I mean, we're paying the price, and Europe is paying the price for
right now.
For what is
happening now?
Yeah, but they've decided within the last 5, 10, 15 years, we don't want to, you know, build any more dirty power plants because we need to do all this green stuff. Well, now so much of the dirty plants are offline. They have an energy crisis like they've never seen in Europe and in Russia and China. They can't even stay open for work. They got to shut down factories.
That was a great Trumpism. They got an energy crisis like they never seen. Like they never seen.
Just ask anybody. And within the states here, Mid-America just said just today or yesterday that if you're a Mid-America customer, you can expect your bill to be 60 to 90% higher than what it was last year for natural gas. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we're getting the facts and the yikes from the guy that actually sells propane.
Yeah, and so what? It's just like a feed mill. They have to set their price based on the commodities that they're purchasing,
right,
which is completely out of their control.
Your margin doesn't necessarily change.
Yeah, people are like,
I bet you like selling this $2 propane. Dude,
well, it wasn't like booked it all. You can't. You can't.
Yeah, but
because you'll be on the wrong side of that. People say that at the elevator to where they deliver their grain. Yeah, well, I sold all this at $4 and now it's $7. I'll split it with you. It's like, no, that guy sold it for $4.02 the day he bought it for $4 because they can't take that kind of risk. And you can't either in your business.
But you'll still make double on it, right?
No.
Or how more?
You make the same.
No. I mean, because you contracted gallons.
But we
way
sold
before.
But yeah, but we sold those gallons to our customers
from
us.
So you're saying that the contract.
You wouldn't buy a bunch of gallons that you don't have contracted.
Right. That's a huge,
huge share. Risk. Right,
okay. I get where you're coming from now. I understand. Because your customers contract you, mm-hmm. you go and buy it on that agreed upon price. All right.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying now. I retract my statement.
So then it's actually a little bit backwards in that we contract first, establish our price, our costs, and then tell our customers this is what you can purchase.
Right. Because you have a baseline of how many gallons you're going to need.
Right. Yeah. And then the hard part for the farmers is you're asking them to do this in July when they don't know if this year you kind of had a clue when it didn't rain for 40 days and 40 nights, but you got to know what's your corn dryer use going to be. Is it going to be a cold winter? When are your turns in your hog barn going to happen? Is it going to be 45 in December? Is it going to be 10 below in December? Because that makes thousands of gallons of difference per hog barn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you're asking these guys to commit to these gallons. It's really tough. And a farmer can pre-purchase 10,000 gallons, use 1,000 of it, and we'll give them $9,000 or 9,000 gallons worth of money back. We pre-purchase 10,000 gallons and don't use it. We have to sell it back at the current market, which sure. might be okay. But
it could go the other way.
Go super bad.
Yep.
So you don't try to overdo it. You could, and you could hedge the market. You know, you could do some puts and calls to help protect yourself in that respect. But I know people do say, "Oh, $2 propane. I bet you really like that." Well, no, because what happens with $2 propane is these people on fixed incomes can't afford $2 propane for their house, and then they can't pay us, and they burn the propane. It's not like you when they go buy get a car. The bank can go get their car back. We can't get a propane or diesel or whatever back because you burned it. It's gone. So and then we're just left. Oh, crap. So when the price spikes like this, it absolutely sucks for the retailer because you're going to inevitably have people that can't pay for it now.
Typically, margins go down when you're in an inflationary market, too. So
thanks, Mitch.
Well, they do. I mean, that's.
Well, no, you're right. Anything. Yeah. This economics lesson is brought to you by...
So, Wayne, you were completely off base.
I admitted that I was wrong. I'm a better man than you, so that's fine.
But I'm never wrong.
I guess. No,
give me a freaking break.
I want...
Like, Wayne is Mr. I'm just here to learn. Yeah,
you guys both look at me, and I'll address you, and we're going to have this fight. Your turn. Oh, God.
I'm just saying, when was the last time that he admitted he was wrong?
Aaron, would you tell Mitch that this and this and this?
Why don't you let him know?
It's like a therapy session here.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah. A Dutch therapy session. Maybe you guys just shouldn't.
Maybe
fight.
You guys should yeah, not yeah, talk yeah. about your feelings so or have feelings actually at all.
There's probably some work that should be done. So, you know, how much rain did you guys get? Can we talk about the weather? I mean, it was nice yesterday.
Oh, we're already about 20 minutes in, and we haven't even talked about, like, our last episode.
No, it was really a change of pace.
Boy,
last
that
episode,
was it,
wasn't it?
Was it ever. I was...
You had to just edit the ever business out of it, didn't you?
No.
I mean, you left... There just was
well,
so much discussion.
We had to try to make her look good.
Right. Well, I know that we had... We tried to keep within a certain length, and we blew past that.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We did. But the stories kept flowing, you know, mm-hmm. and that she clearly has not met a microphone that she does not like. So that's...
She's probably went to Amazon and purchased all of her own equipment to have her own podcast.
That's just saying, forget these guys.
We're going to be her springboard to fame, probably.
Mm-hmm. Although, I think we should bring her as a correspondent, like... Laura, what do you see in Dutchland that makes you angry today?
Well, I don't know about that, but I was in Dune last weekend. There's that. I just thought that was
Dune
hilarious.
Correspondent.
We just had a little
KIWA
fun with Dune.
Has one, so
true.
Yeah, we had fun with Dune, and then like the three people I know from Dune all commented, "That was the best episode ever."
You said Dune.
You kind of feel like the mid-level national touring act. Hello, Kenosha! Oh, they know where we are. Read a map earlier. But no, from what I understand, Laura is still Wookin' Panub in all the wrong places. So you're free to find her on the social media. Although she did say she had an uptick in male friend requests on Facebook. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. I can only imagine like the creepy guy. You sound pretty. You like them.
None of our listeners. Like yeah.
No, it's all very, very normal people that listen.
I mean, maybe people that followed you from the radio.
is that where it comes from? I mean, I actually heard from a number of different people, like different people than what normally listen. So that was encouraging.
Oh, not the one guy that you usually say. Several people told me, and I'm like, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Well, first off, I do that to make us sound better, you ass.
And we get secondly, feedback from multiple people.
We do.
Multiple. Yeah. Multiple is vague enough.
Yep. But yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Anything.
Technically, that's multiple.
And more than one. And that's multiples. But
so anyway,
Now I've lost my train of thought.
You got feedback from multiple people.
That just in general, like I'm saying that we had kind of a wider audience than what we normally do. So I think that, you know, we might have touched Dune. Well, we might be entrenched there.
That's good.
But
friendly people. It's a shortcut people. On the way to Sioux Falls.
And I remember we had shared a story off air, and she probably won't appreciate me telling this, but I will, where I tried to hook her up with one of my employees.
Okay. And, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. All right. Guard down.
We were worried for a minute there.
And so I tried to hook her up with one of my guys, and we went through the, you know, this is his name, this is what he does, he works for me, and dot, 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 dot. And I'm like, he's got some nickname, something like this or that. Like, oh, I know who that is. Well, he tries to take me home all the time. I'm like, okay, all right. So last weekend, we had one of my employees got married, and this guy was in the wedding party. So at one point, as the night wears on, I say, all right, employee, I'm going to keep them safe here.
Right.
I've got a story for you, and you got some splaining to do. So I go through this whole thing, and he says, Wayne, I have no idea who the hell you're talking about. So I pulled up the picture. Never seen her before in my life. I'm like, really?
Really?
Now, keep in mind, he had been drinking for about 10 hours at that point. But
it's quite a wedding.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was. It was an interesting wedding. It was Travis. We had him on the show.
All day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he got married. It was a nice wedding, and we had a good time.
Ham buns?
No, it was the Haywarden outfit, Central Catering.
Oh, they're good. Yep. Roasted chop?
Yep. You bet.
Classic.
You bet. And like a cream chicken kind of thing or something like that. Yeah, it was really good. We had, of course, it was the Hawkeye game where, you know, they played Penn State, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a 4-3 or a 5-4, whatever it was. And my guy, my other employee, is just like, of all the times to plan your wedding, you got to do it on this day. And so as we're going through the speeches, I can see he's got his phone propped like in front of him with like a flower pot hiding it. And so he'd look up and then look down and then look up and then look down. And he would do that for like the entire time the speeches were being done. So I finally text him and I said, eyes up, asshole. And then he's up and then down. And then he stops and then looks down and he looks up and he looks at me and I'm like, point at him.
You saw me.
But then
it would have been great if he jumped up and like the middle of a speech, oh, hell no. Or, you know. But sorry. Yeah, interception.
That was it was fun to watch this game vicariously because I don't care about college football, period. I like watching football, but that's as far as I go with it. I know Mitch, you're a Cyclone fan, and Aaron, you're a fan of sports, that things that are sportsing.
Yeah, I like sports.
And so, you know, you'd walk around these different tables and everyone had a phone that was just kind of propped up. There was one that had three phones propped up, all watching the same thing. It was incredible. Like, well, you guys are really just feeling the social vibe here, aren't you? Shut up. They're going to kick. Shut up.
Okay. Well, it was a pretty powerful game. And I had asked Siri for the score a couple different times. And then we've got a group chat yet with the Chicken Ranch. And one guy posted something about the game and it was done. And I posted, was it really like that? I didn't get to watch it. And then I got called a terrible Iowan. You are a terrible Iowan. And that's when I told them that I was busy missing my supper so they could be enjoying theirs.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You're so dedicated to my non-hobby farm.
Yep. What was the term that we came up with? It was part-time farm. Yeah, yeah. Part-time farm. Yeah.
The other farmer in the group gave it the thumbs up. He appreciated. He too was missing his supper.
All right, well,
I'm not gonna go there.
You're not
on segment one.
Okay.
Iowa is overrated. Not gonna go there.
Well, there's really no discussion to be had around that, is there?
Well, Aaron's not qualified to have a discussion about that. Name one player on Iowa's team.
Tyler Goodson.
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
I know Kirk Ferentz just because he's like the highest paid public employee.
Government employee, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Can you imagine that? How many people that we employ to work on our roads and things like that? There'd be probably 200 of them for what our football coach makes.
Mm-hmm. And?
I just think that's really quite something that the entire state is cool with that.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's because it's okay. The Hawkeyes.
So should they suck and not bring in any money then?
No, I just think that's
But does it bring money in something. For the state?
It does for the university. Football funds the entire athletic department.
Oh, so you're standing up for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I'm standing up for every athletic department at specifically all of our state universities.
Specifically the Hawkeyes.
You know what? I'm not one of those guys that hates the Hawkeyes. I cheer for the Hawkeyes when they're not playing Iowa State. I do think Iowa's overrated. I'll agree with you, Aaron. But they're undefeated.
Did you notice that like he just switches into smug? You know, I will say they're overrated. But
no, yeah. I didn't want to give them too much credit. That's all I'm saying. Because I have friends who are Hawkeye fans who are listening who will throw this back in my face. That's why I had to throw the disclaimer in
there. All right. Well, that's good. We'll leave you rest on your laurels, and we'll be back with segment two next. Fourth time to try the segment.
Fifth.
Is it? No.
I think it's the fifth.
Yeah, it's the fifth.
Because I had the first strike, and you were like really, really mad. And you had the third strike, which sent us all back to the dugout, and you were fine with that.
No, what are we talking about?
You got to be chasing first pitches.
Sorry. All right. So effort five.
I think this is like a sign from God that we're not supposed to talk about it.
Oh, no.
We'll give it one more shot.
No, we've got
it. Because I think it's worth talking about. I mean, we deleted it once already.
We did. We actually recorded an entire segment about this.
Well, with all the cursing and crying and everything.
It was more the crying.
Yeah. We didn't want to embarrass you.
We were mad.
My mom is mad at me.
If you want to find out which episode that was, just look for the one that barely made 50 minutes. And that's the one where about 15 to 20 was edited out.
Oh, yeah. It was at least 20, but... All right, so Aaron, I will allow you to set the scene. I will no longer try to do Rod Sterling, and we'll just let this story breathe and be how it goes. So,
okay, go ahead. So, all right, what's the date today? Is it the 13th?
13th.
All right, 13th. So we're really towards the conclusion of this whole thing, and I brought you guys along for the ride. And the first time we recorded this, it was way towards the beginning when I was telling you guys something doesn't look right.
The wounds were fresh.
Yeah, and something wasn't right. But so my business was asked in May to put a price on a heating and cooling system for the library. Perfect. We went and we looked at it, and we're told by the director that, I can give you what this other company is. They came earlier, and we really like kind of what they're proposing for equipment. So if you can propose using the same equipment or sizes or like kind, do that. So we did that. We took a look at it. Looks good. So we put a price together.
And they gave you that without pricing.
Correct. Right. Yep. Yeah. Would have been nice to have pricing.
So when
that could have been just a dollar cheaper.
So first off, when they gave you that, did that mean that you didn't go do a site survey?
No, we went and took a look at it, and what you can do, so when that building was built, it would have been all designed by an engineer. So you kind of understand what they're looking at for heating and a cooling load. And knowing that they didn't do any major remodel or anything like that, they maybe tightened, put some new windows in at some point. But otherwise, everything for the heating and cooling load is going to be identical. And if everything worked really good before, why would you really put everything into the computer software and say, well, my software says it should be way bigger.
Right.
Well, we've kept cool with this current one. Why do we need bigger? Because the computer said so. So we bid like kind and turned that in. And then we were invited to come in June. So they have one meeting a month, and it's like the third Wednesday or the second Wednesday of every month. It's like, You would know today what 12 months from now will hold for library meetings. Mm-hmm. It's not a surprise. So I came in June, and then the other contractor would come in July to do theirs. So came in June, and I was told, hey, we don't really want, sold by the director, we don't really want you to go into the nuts and bolts of this and talk all technical and about the equipment. We really just want to know, how does the old system work? How are you proposing the new stuff works? Perfect. So I came and I did. I mean, I left feeling like I just did a really nice job, which I did, if you're wondering.
Of course.
And I mean,
we'd expect nothing less.
And but there was a couple people missing from the meeting, and I thought, well, okay, whatever, you know, it's a library board. They're doing their biggest expenditure they've ever done as a library board.
Right.
But yeah, two guys are missing. Fine, whatever. These other people came.
Volunteer board. Yeah.
So next month comes, the next contractor gets to come and he gives the spiel. But turns out.
No. Fred's Plumbing and Heating. You can name them because this becomes important later in the story.
Okay. So the other guys came and they.
can't even utter it.
So Fred's came and the boy came.
The boy. Explain the boy.
The owner's son.
The owner's son, who probably has some ownership too or whatever. And I think he has like a mechanical engineering degree, or at least went to college for it, and does a lot of their estimating and so forth. Well, he comes.
Well, okay. Well, let's back up. Let's look at the... You worked there, right?
Yeah, I worked there from 19... I worked there in 1999 is when I started. Yeah, worked there for 4 years.
Before you started your own business.
Correct.
And at that point, there was a Fred, right?
Yeah. So Fred would have started Fred's, obviously, and he's since passed away. And now his son, Mark, pretty well runs it. And then his sister, Fred's daughter, is there. And then there's a couple other daughters, too, that might be involved in the business. And then there's grandkids, Mark's kids.
So when we're pitching this deal... This is the third generation.
Yeah, this is the third generation.
Okay.
Yep.
I just wanted to get the family hierarchy right.
Sure. Yeah. So
very important to the story.
It is, actually. I think it is because
wait and see.
All right. And we'll see where Wayne goes with that.
Yeah, we'll see where you go with this story.
Just you wait.
Okay. And so Chris comes in, and the library director later tells me that he didn't have anything with him to really explain anything about the project. Was she said, quote, not prepared. I'm like, okay.
So now when they're doing this, is this for consideration for the bid? For the
bid, right?
Yeah, this is them looking at your number.
They
and
took
your sheet.
Bid presentation in June.
Yeah.
And now in July, it's supposed to be Fred's bid presentation.
Yeah, and then they'll make their decision after that. And what was interesting was I was told when I brought my numbers, my actual quote, I was told by the director, oh, you didn't need to bring that. They've seen that already. Oh, okay. Well, I have it here, so I'm just going to pass it out. And most of the people were marked, oh, yeah, this is great. I haven't seen this yet.
Interesting.
Okay. So I didn't go through it line by line because I was told by the director, don't want you to go through it line by line. We just want to know the big theory. Flame make building hot. Refrigerant make building but did a nice 20-minute presentation on how it all works.
Aaron would hate to mansplain.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate people mansplaining things. So what are you laughing at?
Okay.
Just yeah, I don't. I
yeah. No, that's on you, man. Don't look at me.
What? So Chris comes and he is as a library.
I find it odd that Aaron gets mansplained to at all.
No, but he maybe sticks up for the mansplained.
Oh, okay.
I do, and then I mansplain to them why I just stuck up for them. No, just so they set up a special meeting. Unbeknownst to me, they set up a special meeting. Because I'm thinking, oh, well, wonder how this went. Oh, well, it didn't go very well. We're going to do another special meeting in a week. And then Fred's is going to come back prepared this time. Oh, all right, I guess. So the next meeting happens a week later. And I have somebody there at the meeting that I'm able to text during the meeting just to say, hey, well, not during the meeting, but after the meeting, and say, hey, so what happened in the meeting? And that's when the guy was like, yeah, so I wasn't prepared, going to come back next week. So next week, Mark comes back. So Mark is president, probably kind of the guy in charge.
So Fred's son.
Yep, Fred's son. Super smart. Would know anything about everything. And he's there this time, not the son. Or the grandson, you might say.
Right.
So then they go, apparently they work through a different bid than what was turned in and then given to me to follow. It was different in two ways. The first way was, rather than doing two boilers, they did three. And they added a second option, which didn't exist on the first one, and I wasn't asked to put anything together for. So the discussion at the special meeting, and this is what the newspaper wrote an article about, and it wasn't until the newspaper article came out, and I'm reading the conversation that's going on between the library board members, did I really kind of get a little upset about what happened, because they were identical bids. And in fact, when they changed from three boilers to from two boilers to three boilers, they put three cheaper boilers in rather than two industrial commercial boilers. So that should have brought the price down. So the Fred's price was $16,000 higher than ours.
For the equivalent bid.
For the equivalent bid, $16,000 higher. Same equipment, same labor, same everything, except less money in boilers for $16,000 more. And I wasn't giving the project away to the library. I got to pay my guys. We got payments to make just like everybody else. I wasn't doing it for nothing. What's this extra 16 grand for? Anyways, they're so excited that Mark is there and whatever. They decided that, you know what? Three boilers is better than two. And
even though
that $16,000 difference is probably because of the extra boiler. And Mark said that they were going to drill holes and they had to do ductwork.
Well,
yeah, I'm drilling holes and putting ductwork in too.
Right.
It's the same equipment, and it's
and the total BTUs of the three boilers they got is the equivalent of the two
of the two, but
except
they're
lower quality boilers.
They're
that they ended up with.
Yeah, so the library decided, you know what, we're going to spend $16,000 more, and we know that this is $6,000 higher than what the city fathers allowed us to spend. $6,000 higher than what we had budgeted to spend. But you know what? And this is a quote from the article. We can find that. We can find that. And, you know, there's a rebate, too, that's coming. And Aaron's, you know, he doesn't have a rebate. So not only are you getting three cheaper boilers, those boilers that are built to go in people's houses that are now going into the library are less efficient. They're 2.5%. Nothing you're going to notice. But the fact that they went with it because they were told, you go with these three, that's a lot more money. But you get a rebate with these that you wouldn't get with Aaron's boilers. No, you would get rebates with these other two. In fact, they're more efficient. And don't tell me because it's three versus two, it costs more, because I can buy three for the price of one commercial one.
So if it's three for the price of one, the price of the boilers on the bid should be half as much as what they originally
were. Yeah, when they're calculating it out, they should have been less. But anyways, it's right on the bid. It says there, well, you know, it's $6,000 more than what we told you this spring, but commodities have gone up and we're doing three boilers rather than two. But there's this rebate here. So anyways, the board gets all excited, all worked up, all frothy, and they get a motion and a second from two guys who weren't even at my presentation, who've never reached out to ask me about what I bid. Never anything. And these are the guys that are like, you know, yeah, I think this Fred one, you know, I know it's $16,000 higher and I know it's $6,000 over top of our budgeted allowance. But, oh, you know, this Mark guy, he was just here. And yeah, so it goes that way. And I was like, whatever. I've seen this happen before where on the backside, a contractor says, well, I think doing it this way is going to be better. It's more money, but it's going to be better. And then the board or the people purchasing it say, you know what, you're right. It is, let's make these changes. And then the original presentation, the guy that made the original presentation isn't allowed to make any changes. That's what I assumed happened.
But at the same time, this is a tax-funded
deal, yeah.
which I would imagine follow a different criteria than what, like, you know, if you were just at, you know, a business or what have you.
Right. Yeah. If you're at a business, you do whatever you want. But when you're using taxpayer dollars, there's certain I've been on city councils. I've seen this how this is supposed to play out. And there's certain steps that you have to take in order to be sure that you're getting the fairest deal, the best deal for the taxpayer. It's pretty straightforward. You as the taxpayer want to know that you're getting the best deal. You're not just going to say, well, we just, you know, let's just have so-and-so do it. It's a 60-some thousand-dollar project. But so then anyways, it comes out in the paper, and I just get pissed. And I email Justin Rust, and Justin Rust thinks I'm pissed at him. And I'm like, no, I'm pissed at the facts you wrote down. I'm not pissed at you, poor guy. But so then that's when I talked with you guys, and I'm like, yeah, this just really kind of upsets me that this all happens. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a letter to the library board and say, you guys kind of got taken a little bit here, that you not only did you overspend by 16 grand, you're getting less of a product on the boiler side than had you remained with what was you told me you wanted a number on.
So it's a lower value.
Yeah. So you guys, I just want you to be aware. And third, the fact that you didn't give me an opportunity to come back to a special meeting, you were all sorts of excited to make a special meeting for them and not even reach out to me or ask me about any of this. You could have called me, whatever. That is disappointing. That's the word you use when you can't use like mean words and letters. Mm-hmm. And so then I go visit with city manager Sam. And I tell city manager Sam, here's my letter. This is what happened from my perspective. I mean,
at this point, we're how many weeks removed from the accepted bid?
So you had the accepted bid, and then you had the newspaper article come out, and then you had me stewing on it, and then you had me visiting with you guys about it, and then finally
us kicking you in the ass a little bit on it.
Saying, you're doing the should I, shouldn't I.
Yeah, you know, this has happened before. I'm just going to let it, whatever, water under the bridge. We're not going to. So, but then I do go in and I do talk with Sam. And Sam says, all right, you can get this letter to me and get this letter to the library board. And Sam said he would get it to like Todd Yule and the city council. But I wanted to make some changes to my letter. And so what happened was Sam then visited with city clerk Angie, visits with Todd Yule, visits with some other people at city hall about this situation, asking, hey, did you know that the library was going to be doing this? And because Sam was like, I had no idea they were even doing this.
Right. Kind of knew that the project was going to happen, but is not directly involved with how the board decides who gets the bid and so on and so forth.
So within City Hall and within people connected with City Hall, the word is kind of getting out that, hey, there's a little bit of an issue here with the library board awarded a contract that was $16,000 higher, $6,000 higher than their line item budget, and the comparable quote, which was significantly cheaper, they didn't ever, if they thought there was an issue with it or whatever, it was never addressed with the contractor. They just assumed that, well, we're getting more because the price is more.
Right, so it must be inferior.
Yeah, so you have this, so, and to your point, this is weeks, okay? This is weeks after. So bring this to Sam's attention. Sam, the next day, is leaving town for 10 days-ish. And Sam's like, redo this letter with these corrections that you want to make, and then get it to me, get it to the library board director, and we'll work from it from there. Well, anyways, I don't really get to it very fast because I'm like, well, Sam's not coming back in 10 days. What does it really matter? I'll get it to him when he comes back. So I got him the letter when he came back. Well, in the meantime, 10 days after that, so people are starting to talk a little bit about this whole situation. Then all of a sudden, the library board has an emergency meeting because Fred's Plumbing and Heating has offered to do the segment 2. I talked about that earlier, that there was an option 2 that they had added that I wasn't asked to present on or do anything. That adding air conditioning and new heating to a community room in the basement and a little in a community room upstairs, that they would do that $21,000 of work for free. So, weeks later, after being presented the work, they decided they would do that for free.
After they've won the bid and everything else.
Correct. So, yeah.
And you may have seen it on the front page of the newspaper, this glorious gift.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just wonderful. And hey, I don't want to, I have nothing, no axe to grind with Fred's personally. So I don't want this to be a mudslinging session at them. I'm more upset as a citizen of Sheldon that my taxpayer dollars were misused. And
yeah, but here's the thing. Now they haven't, Mitch. They haven't been misused now because
they were allowed cheaper than I was. Yes. Which, so, you know, the timing does seem
suspect. Let's just whitewash the whole thing because all is well that ends well.
Well, the fact of the matter is the procedures weren't followed the way they should have been. And right. There are people on that board who have been in business for themselves before who I don't think would have appreciated being treated that way in a bidding process. You know, I know there's a guy who used to own a car dealership. If he showed up to a meeting and bid a Chevy and Steve Drinko showed up and bid a Ford a week later, and then they had a special meeting with Steve Drinko to sell him a Lariat instead of an XLT.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, well, actually, got an XL instead of an XLT at a Lariat price is the equivalent, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It is kind of the way it happened. He would have been pissed as hell about it. Mm-hmm. So,
and I don't,
I get your frustration.
Because I'm upset the procedures weren't followed. And then for the optics of it, though, you have to say that things just look so goofy.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden,
After you start asking questions, then this mysterious donation happens. Yeah, after I start asking
questions, then.
So, now I can bring my part into it. After Aaron brought this to my attention, I started going up the ladder and, you know, being the council member at large, Aaron, his business would fall under my jurisdiction, which, you know, obviously us doing the podcast together, having been friends for years, you know, there's, you know, a propensity for bias maybe that could exist. So I tried my level best to be like, hey, look, these are rules and procedures that were not followed. And there needs to be an accountability, not only for the awarding of the bid, but for the okaying of spending our tax dollars. Right. You know, because you're talking about a $16,000 difference. So I had started kind of, I think, you know, shaking a few trees on this. And about the time I was doing that was when the donation came in. Now, we actually went so far as to have a private meeting with myself, Aaron, and members of the library board and another council member. And Aaron was able to make his case. I was able to explain exactly why, you know, he felt that he had been, you know, wronged. And the board said, yes, you're absolutely right. We messed up. We should never have done this the way that it went. And we're sorry. Okay, well, tell Aaron you're sorry. That's fine. Now, the part that really stuck with me, kind of stuck in my craw, was the fact that at this point, the media has now reported that a bid was accepted.
Because Aaron's incompetent.
That's $16,000 more, but this guy can't do it. So, or he's, you know, he's obviously deficient because, you know, this is what it should be. Because Fred said it's what it should be. So, and then, you know, the flip
never
side.
Never mind the fact that he was copying their original bid.
Correct.
So,
if
that was a bad plan, then that's not your fault. Because you weren't even asked to consult on it the way you would do it.
Right. So, not only that, but then you have the fact that we're okaying a $16,000 budget overrun, and we're going to have to try and explain that to the taxpayers. So now, not only is Aaron looking stupid, but now the council's looking stupid too. And what I said during that meeting was, you know, the biggest fight that we have as a council is the battle for public perception, because everyone assumes that we're doing wrong. and that we are up to some sort of nefarious purpose. And it's like a whole guilty until proven innocent standard, which has been driving conspiracies since there was established government. So we had this meeting, and what I had said, you know, Aaron made his points. They were very valid. They were very well thought out, well spoken, and well received. And I, you know, so it came down to the whole idea of, well, what do you want? You know, what's the end goal? Do you want this job to be rebid? Do you want this? Do you want it that we give you, you know, the work or whatever? But, you know, that was not, you know, that ship had sailed. That was gone. It was done. What I was after, and I think Aaron was after as well, was just, let's write the record. If we can write the record, to let the record show that it wasn't because of Aaron's gross incompetence or negligence that this that he didn't get this job, that it was actually due to the error of policy within the library board, then I think we'd be okay. You know, mm-hmm. And I think that, and so all that I had asked for was, hey, let the public know you screwed up and you didn't do it right, and that it's not on Aaron. It's not that SP Plumbing and Heating is...
Heating and cooling.
Oh, yeah, I used the wrong term, didn't I?
Not as bad as
we'll get
later.
That they're not the ones that are deficient. It's just that we perhaps jumped the gun on making a decision without considering all of what should go into a decision of this magnitude. So we're going to stop there. We're going to take a break because, believe it or not, there's even more after this. Welcome back to a very special edition of Dutch by Association, where we try to put the toothpaste back in the tube. Or whatever.
Well, I'm glad you had your opportunity to finally record that.
Thank you.
After we threw it away at like strike two.
Four or five different times.
Yeah.
So last segment.
Sounded like the intro to a late night movie on Cinemax or something. The way your
silk stockings.
Yeah.
So where we left off. So we had the meeting with the library, members of the library board,
yes.
The librarian, Aaron, a council member, and myself. We left kind of generally under an understanding. I had kind of put the call to action out there to say, if you guys want to make this right, you publicly say that you messed up.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I should say about that meeting, I'm there and I'm running through kind of just like what I did now, just running through the step by step, and everybody's nodding, and I'm basically addressing the president of the board and the library director, the councilman who is the council rep on the board was sitting next to me, and Wayne was at the head of the table or the foot. Nobody really said.
Yeah, but I chose
way
that
on
spot.
One end.
I chose that spot,
and I'm saying that. Oh, and I'm at right at the point where I'm like. And then this don't right when everybody's starting to get like, hey, wait a minute, this really, I mean, why did we spend this? I mean, it's the same, but it's less. What's going on? Oh, here's a $21,000 donation. It's like that just looks to me to be just so odd. And then all of a sudden a remark, well, all of the director's emails are public.
And you didn't ask anything about that.
No. I didn't say, did you call him? I didn't say anything like that. I just said that it just looks terrible. I mean, not terrible, but it just raises your eyebrow a little
it's,
bit. Like,
it's, well, it makes it look very to be suspect. Honest. What? Yeah, it's suspect.
Because, yeah, there's no proof. But if you were an outsider, just if this was a book or an episode on
like,
television, you'd be like, wait.
That's
wait
like if I got
minute.
Pulled over and I rolled my window down, the cop rolls up and I said, well, I'm not driving drunk, if you're wondering.
Right. Yeah.
That's an immediate red flag. Like,
well, we just, what? All her emails are public. Okay. I didn't accuse the director of... It's like, what? Where'd that come from? Anyways, moving on. So, yeah, the meeting was held, and we left. And then I got an email with a letter that was written by the city manager and, well, the two people that sign at the bottom are the library director and the city manager. So maybe written by both, but more, I think, written by Sam, who has been extremely helpful through this whole deal. It has upset him. He's mad. I mean,
yeah, and he told,
he's mad.
He's told you that. He's told me that, you know, and he's used terse words, which Sam is not a terse word guy. So,
And so I get this letter and it. Okay. So it's like, all right, here's the letter that's going to be public. And it starts off to Aaron Alon's S&P Supply.
Didn't even get Sheldon. Your business name right.
No. And Sam called. He felt awful about it. It was an honest mistake, but it just continues to play into this overarching concept that do they even
consider care? You a legitimate business right. and contender for the bid, right?
So, and I respond and say this thing went to Fred's too because they're having a field day with this. Because they're saying not only did they not give him any consideration for a bid that was $16,000 less for more dollars of product, not only that, they can't even get his name right. And apparently he went and complained. Mm-hmm. Who does this kid think he is? He should still be running a service van for us. You know, he's no business being out on his own, which is what I've fought for 16 years. But yeah, so that got corrected. But the letter was sad. I mean, we appreciate your company's contributions to our city. And another thing that got me was it addresses the letter also to Mark at their address in town, which is a warehouse and sheet metal fabrication shop, not an office. It's not their office. If you go online and you say, where is Fred's office? It is in Hospers. So not only can they not get your name right, they want to give anybody that reads this the impression that they're a Sheldon business. Yeah, they
have a presence.
They have a presence in Sheldon. They have a building in town. They do. But their office sits in Hospers. So why would you go out of your way to list a Sheldon address that has no mailbox? They don't get mail there. They get mail where all their bills are sent. But anyways, again, an honest mistake because they Googled Fred's Sheldon. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's the address to their building. That must be where they receive their mail. It's not. So, and the letter is just, to use what you've called me a lot of times, milk toast.
I do yes, agree did, with that.
They for, did offer,
with both the letter and you.
They did offer to attach it to the meeting minutes of the library board on buried in the city's website. So knows, that way it's a matter of public record.
Well,
because then everyone in town will know. Then and, that will set the record straight.
So about the time that it got sent to Aaron, it got sent to myself, and my immediate response was, is this the grand sum of the acknowledgement of this this mess up, you know, this botched deal? And it was, the response that I got back was, well, you know, it was, we were told that, you know, the lawyer thought this was the best way to go about it. You know, the words were carefully chosen, but it does admit fault, which it does. I'm not taking that away from them.
In retrospect, it says,
right,
we should have probably, you know, used the things that Iowa Code sets up to be sure stuff like this doesn't happen. We don't have to, it said, because the library is kind of the city, but not the city.
And it ended up under the threshold, which we had no idea whether it would or would not be under that threshold.
Yeah, right? the estimate ended under that 60,000. The project total is beyond that 60. So yeah, let's use another loophole.
Which to me, if you don't know what it's going to cost going in, how do you know which method you're going to use? Right.
And I think that's kind of an issue too, where you know, a lot of these bigger city projects, they've got like an engineer or whatever that says this is the scope of work to be done.
And the engineer would handle the bid process. The true. Engineer well, would be yeah. there. They would have a contractor's meeting to where the contractors can both sit there and you can get a tour and you can ask your questions. And
You know, it's got to make you feel better, though, that in 50 years when this system wears out, that maybe you'll be, you know, given a shot, a fair shake at it at that point. So that'll right the wrongs.
Yep. And it's so what could happen from here? They still have to have their meeting where, because the letter that I wrote will get put into the packet that goes to all of the board members. I don't know if any of them have a clue other than the board rep, or the council rep and board president. Do any of the rest have a clue that this is going on? Are they getting emails? Did they get my letter yet?
Probably not. They didn't see your original bid until you brought it when you were asked not to. Right.
So, and it just, yeah. And so they'll get that next week, probably Tuesday, emailed to them. And then they'll be like, I hope the director prints these out because I don't got time to read it. And then they're going to hustle to the meeting and maybe that'll be the first time they, oh, what's this? But so, okay. And then there's this letter that will get put in it. And then the director has said that she will put, or she will have a couple things about it in her director's report and in her verbal report. So I could go to that meeting. I could invite Wayne and Sam to come to the meeting and we could all go. Will the newspaper report on this?
Is there a public comments section?
There is.
Oh. Okay.
And so
to your point, the newspaper could write about it. They will write about it, but when it comes in the shadow of this
of the front page
benevolent gift.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Given.
Truly a whitewashing, whether it was meant or not, truly just a complete whitewashing of the entire process. Oh, you know, we're so glad that it worked out this way, though. I mean, look at what we're getting.
And part of the resistance to a more public apology was, well, this could be kind of embarrassing to the board members. You know, this kind of could make them look bad or hurt their public perception. Mm-hmm. Well, think of the guy whose business got dragged through the mud on this. Yeah,
and that's exactly what I had said in the meeting. I said, okay, now look, everyone here outside of the library director and Aaron are volunteers, right? You know, if we get paid, it's pennies, right? You know, we're doing this because we want to serve, which also means that we're not experts, right? You know, we're just members of the community. And yeah, you know what? Not only like in the general populace, but even specialized people mess up. People make mistakes. You own it. You move on. You know, it's not saying that you are derelict in your duty. You've never done it before. And there is no precedent for this. So I get it. Like, that's fine. But let's just let it be that. Mm-hmm. And explain that story, not the, oh, we picked the guy that gave us the best stuff, and then look, he gave us a rebate.
Yeah, and I want to say this. The library director does an incredible job with our library. She does. She's just very, very, very good at her job. Whose shoulders does this fall on? I can't say it's the library director's deal, per se.
I don't think...
Is it the president's responsibility to be able to keep his board in check when you've got two guys that weren't even at the first presentation making the motion in the second? Hey, wait a minute, knuckleheads. You weren't even here a month ago. Or is it the council rep who's been through projects bid in the millions? Been there long enough to know exactly how this goes. He's been burned personally with his own business. Doesn't say anything. Which one of these three people, or is it a shared responsibility? You know, you could look at it different ways, but.
So then, yeah, you ask the question, do you go with your gut, which is a conspiracy, right? You know, that.
Oh, it'd make an awesome,
wouldn't it? Yeah.
Little short film.
Yeah. Like,
'cause you could add a bunch to it, you know, 'cause there's things that if I didn't know people's character, if all I had was people's names, you could add more screwy stuff into this story with things that have happened, you know? And it's, as I'm watching this play out, I'm like, this is getting nuttier by the day.
It is. Yep.
But here we are. The project has started already. And that letter says exactly what I know. This isn't going to change the outcome. They're going to get this system. I mean, they've accepted the extra benevolent. We've never seen such gracious acts of giving before in this town as what they had a couple weeks ago with this $21,000 donation. It's going to all happen. But I think next week, Wednesday, and in fact, I even thought about it when you had texted and said, do we talk about the library thing this time on the pod? I almost thought, well, let's wait until the meeting next week happens. Because that's kind of the one little thing that's hanging out there. How will this play out? And what will managing editor Justin Rust do with it?
Well, I think he's got, he knows the story.
Yeah, he does.
He knows the facts. Does he have a copy of your letter?
First draft.
So,
but he gets everything in the board packet.
So all of the details are there. Then it becomes more of a, you know, whether or not they feel that it has merit or it has legs. But I also look at the letter to the editor segment and see what kind of kooks and yahoos get column inches in that. So yeah.
So let's, we just said that if you look at this, you can see a lot of conspiracy type things, right? The newspaper is, it's a business. They have to sell ads to pay bills. Mm-hmm. Are they going to go ahead and say the things that have happened here if it's going to upset one of the people that regularly gives them money for ads? You know, there's just multi levels here to dig through and go, oh, that's pretty odd. And the newspaper is going to say, no, we don't do that. And I'd love to believe them.
Yeah. Well, and you know, obviously knowing Justin personally. I don't see him doing any of that, but I don't think he's the last stop.
Right. He's not the guy that's, you know, he writes.
He's a managing editor and he makes sure that all the info that's coming in is set. But then as far as what prints, there's a couple levels above that that have the opportunity or at least the, I guess opportunity would be the right word to maybe manipulate the layout or the tone or.
Is getting slid in between the obits.
Right.
Actually, that's probably read pretty heavy. It shouldn't go there. Where should that? You all right, buddy?
Yeah.
So
into this story that I'm spilling beer on myself.
And wow. the weird thing was, I've done work and continue to do work and have great relationships with many people on the library board. So, and I have good relationships with the people at Fred's. I mean, but watching this whole thing play out,
well,
it just is like, this is weird.
Knowing a bunch of the people involved, including Mark. In my previous job, I did business with Mark, and he was nothing but great to me.
Right? Yeah, we're not slashing each other's tires. I just want to go through things fair.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to say is I don't think this was all a grand conspiracy that was orchestrated. I think it looks to me, outside looking in, like there was probably a preference towards Fred's from the outset that they maybe gave them a little more credibility than you, which led to the way that things were handled improperly. And then they got excited and took their bid based on that. And then not even thinking about the ramifications or the processes they're supposed to follow. And then after the fact, when it starts to look really bad, then it's like sort of a, I don't want to say a cover-up effort, but it looks to me like somebody was like, oh, shit.
Well, it snowballed for sure.
We screwed up, and now somebody noticed, and this is going to look bad.
You guys could have this project taken away.
And we're all going to look like crap, and somebody came up with the solution of the donation. And what I don't know.
Maybe that's not how
any of it went. I don't know.
But when you're watching this thing play out,
that's kind of the way that it looks.
And
if I'm Fred's and I'm like, oh, I don't want to look like crap. Yeah, I would probably come up with something like that too.
And you know,
that doesn't even mean that they were in on doing anything wrong. It's just they were trying to save face too.
Right.
So that's what I want to express is we're not trying to say that there was a bunch of nefarious stuff. It seems kind of like that's what happened is like, well, this is how we make it not look so bad and everybody's happy and we move on.
Yeah. Right? And it's because it is like when we mentioned this numerous times during this episode, could be a TV drama.
Well, for sure. And you can, and.
And yeah, regardless of, you know, what the motives are, just looking at the outcomes and you go, boy, that just, you know, if you're drawing a line from A to B to C, mm-hmm. It's really, really tough to think that these are all just happy little accidents that happen that forge this outcome.
My mind goes to how many other times has this happened within the city of Sheldon? How many bigger projects have?
Oh man, now you're. Oh.
No, that's not conspiracy theory. Okay, so it's 16 grand this time. Next time it's 160 grand because what?
Wow.
Oh, well now I'm getting the council level stuff. So they're beyond reproach. I'm sorry.
No, you're saying like 30 years ago.
It adds up.
No, and I agree with that.
How many little things like this have happened over the years? Because of lack of oversight, because of people not following the procedures they should. So, because somebody is a buddy of somebody and they want their buddy to get the bid. And
I get that. I think I really do understand where you're coming from. I think there's not that this excuses it, but I do think there's kind of a threshold of where you really need that type of oversight. And I think this particular
we don't need to bid out the furnace filters probably
for the
community building. I'm not saying that.
Say, I do remember one of the audit reports that was in within the last year or two called out Brad, the hardware store. The fact that the city guys are going to the hardware store without checking on prices for nuts and bolts and just getting them from a councilman's store.
Yeah, that
we better
that
be watching that.
Well, they
should go drive around and smoke a pack of cigarettes and price bolts.
So there's two sides to this.
Well, the audit report actually called me out too because, you know, I am a supplier for the city. I'm a vendor of the city. Yeah. So I really understand that, and I, you know, you try not to you know, especially knowing that all of this is a matter of public record. Well, what I will say is what we haven't commented on yet is the fact that, okay, not only was this letter sent to S&P Supply and Fred's, but it was also sent to our auditor we do recognize
because
that something that procedures were not followed and that something came up. Now, the auditors could be like, oh, well, that's just kind of a black mark and it'll affect your score at the end of the year. Or they can say like, hey, maybe we could dig a little deeper.
But had you never said anything, nobody would ever know or care,
right?
Yeah.
It'd just be me seeing.
But at the same time,
taking a couple of years off your life worrying about this.
What causes the loss of years of my life is my mom calling. She gets the mail, son. My mom calling. She gets the paper super early in the morning. Did you see this story? And I'm like, nope, don't even really want to read it. And then she'll drive over to my office. And
she drives over from Sanborn.
You should read this. And then it's like, So again, I have said this before, so if the listeners missed it, Sam has been excellent to work with. He's made many phone calls.
And I will say that as a councilman, Sam has been a friend. He's been a mentor, and I really do appreciate him as a city manager.
Are you regretting some things you said earlier now?
No, not at all. Okay. No, because everything is a matter of public record. And, you know, I think that's the one thing about Sam, you know, if he's got a hallmark, it's transparency. Sometimes it's too much transparency when you have 57 emails in a day, but I'd rather have that than wonder what's maybe really going on there.
When I told him the story, he said, this really hits close to home because when I was, Sam was a councilman in Rapid City.
Mayor.
Both maybe?
Yeah, he might have been a councilman, but he was the mayor, and that the mayor had voting power.
Oh, okay. So that's probably what he meant then. But he said that they had a deal where a contract was awarded to like Johnson Controls or something, 100 and some grand or maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he stumbled upon the fact that it wasn't competitively bid, just was handed.
Yeah.
And that all got redone. And he said there were people that were pissed because there were personal connections, like what you had pointed out, Mitch, that a guy that knew a guy that knew a guy that made sure this happened, and that all got called back, all got rebid, and somebody else got the bid.
And then there was a deal in Cherokee where Sam came from, where one of the council members had been awarding or had to do with the Board of Supervisors. There's a connection in there where it was the same thing that they were, I don't know if they were getting kickbacks or if it was just preferential treatment or whatever, but now he's being indicted on fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So
really,
yeah, it's
for like construction.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. A non-competitive bid type deal, like what Aaron's talking about. So, you know, and these are obviously things that I never really thought about going into like being on the city council, but now I see it and I get it. Right. I get why everyone jumps directly to the conspiracy theory that somebody must be screwing somebody else, because that's the only way that anything gets done in government. Right.
Well, and that's not even the way I view this. Like I say, I mean,
No. And I guess a
comedy of errors.
Well, it is. And that was the point that I want to make, is that, you know, and I've said this on this show before too, where I've said like, yeah, I've yet to be told where the backroom deals are made. I've yet to be invited to that party where, you know, we have the secret meetings and get our fanny pack stuffed with $100 bills, because
we had that in Hospers. Just kidding.
Now, I would believe the fanny pack part though. No, that would be about right. But what I'm saying is that I've not yet found the situation where, you know, great example was something that you shared on Facebook yesterday, right? The somebody put on Facebook, what do you wish Sheldon had?
Oh, yeah.
Or what could Sheldon have or whatever? And
that was our man, Mitch.
Yeah.
Oh, that was you that was brought me. That? Oh, okay.
It's the other really big guy.
Well, I thought you brought that. Okay, no. I misread that. But regardless, you know, they talked about, you know, chain restaurants and this and that. And then you get into the, well, why won't they let something else in? It's not like, you know, Sam and I stand arms locked at the border and saying,
we saw
like,
that when they announced the new Quick Star. How come the city's letting another gas station in? They should have something. Well, the city didn't like, well, it's either a Quick Star or stuff that this other guy wants. Right. Forget him. We want a Quick Star. No. What? No, they bought the damn building and decided to build there.
And if the listeners,
you couldn't do anything about it.
And if the listeners didn't know, you guys are actually beholden to the owners of Maintainer and Rosenboom and not allowing another manufacturer in town.
Right?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. I saw that too. You know, you're just keeping those wages down. That's how they keep the wages down.
Was that in that thread?
It was. Yeah. Yep.
So you saw it and then it doubled with goodness. Yeah. You just keep reading that.
Yeah. Define goodness.
I looked at it early in the evening, and then I suppose later after 18 beers, people get on
it.
There
got better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. People wanted, like a Target inside of a Walmart with a drive-through Starbucks.
The chain restaurant thing drives me nuts. A nice sit-down restaurant Olive Garden.
Yeah, like Olive Garden.
Or a fancy steakhouse like Applebee's.
Hey, man, get my bourbon street steak.
With Oreo shake. Yep. Yeah.
Don't. You know, don't.
I'm not too good to eat at Applebee's. I'm not trying to say that. But that's your idea of a fancy steakhouse. Yeah. Maybe you should just sit this session out.
When I saw that, it got put up onto Twitter with some guys that were mutual friends with, and Ty Rushing said, "Old 60s is rolling in their grave."
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's like, we had
all of that.
A really good sit-down restaurant.
Yes. Yep.
And it's more complex than what people think. You should just be able to wish stuff to happen.
And I still don't understand that whole mentality. Well, why can't we get this? Why will they only do this? Like, as if we're like, nope. Department store, get out of here. Right. Gas station, come here. Come here, baby. Come here. This is what, give me some of that more petroleum. Yeah.
you know, we really need a department store where we can buy this and this and this and this. It's like,
oh, you mean like the JCPenney we had?
Yeah, we had.
Or the Shopko that we had?
Because, or Sears that we had?
Yeah. Because you didn't shop at it. Let me ask you where you've been the last two weekends. And I bet Walmart in a bigger city is on that list.
Yes. Well, I want to go there to save 20 cents on my bottle of shampoo, you know, when it's convenient and I have time. But then at midnight, when I run out of diapers, that other place in town better be open.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
then I'll still bitch about their prices being higher than the Walmart that I usually go to.
That is a tremendous point. Because that's
exactly how 100%, that is.
100% right. Because
if we if we would just raise minimum wage, we could have kept JCPenney, Sears, and Shopko.
Stop.
Did I just show a wrench in the thing?
I talked to someone today that works and will soon no longer be working for a large business in town that said when the employment crunch hit that they raised the starting wage to a level higher than what the current workers were making to do the same work.
They didn't raise the current employees' wages?
Correct.
Well, I'd be pissed about that.
Oh, yeah, I would be too. Because we went through the same thing as a company with super high tech. We're like, okay, well, you know, you drive up and down Highway 18, you see these signs, you know, starting, you know, $13 an hour at McDonald's. And my guys are like, well, I'm that much better than McDonald's. So why are you paying me that much less than, why is the gap not bigger between the McDonald's pay and what I'm making?
Well, I am twice as good as a burger flipper. Correct. Why am I not making 26?
Yes, exactly. So
being the practical person that I am, if we have two large manufacturers in town, did they both do this or just one?
Do what?
The wage above the...
No.
It's not even a manufacturer.
It's not a manufacturer.
Oh, okay. Well...
This is just something that I heard, which is why I'm not...
But I'm going to talk to my buddy at the other factory... And we're gonna like trade.
No, right? but
I'm gonna go over there, and he's gonna come over and here.
And I've heard that same thing. You got your
sign-on bonuses.
That same rhetoric's been going on for years. That there's wage fixing, right? You know, between the manufacturing.
They both post their wages in the newspaper. I mean, if you're gonna fix it, I would think you'd be a little more secretive about it.
Well, no, I don't know that you would, because it'd be like, well, I could make 15 here, I could make 15 here, I could make 15 here.
Yeah, but there's never match exactly. I mean,
I don't know. I've seen Larry and some of these other guys going for coffee on Friday mornings. Probably their wage stagnation fixing meetings. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
It's tough, man. I mean, it's tough to try and quantify, because, you know, I from the business standpoint, you know, my business partner John and I, you know, we had that conversation. It was an awkward conversation. We said, well, okay, we obviously need a way to raise our starting wage, but we can't just be like, oh, well, you know, you guys already work here, so you already agreed to this lesser wage. So
we know how much you suck.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna gamble on someone new.
Don't worry, we're going to cut this other guy's pay after we got him on the hook.
No, and and it sucked because, well, it was, we felt the hit, I should say that, because we raised everyone, right? I mean, like, we didn't just say,
where's
like,
your front page article? Benevolence as far as the sun shines there.
We did not raise our take, by the way.
I was going to say, you've heard about the CEO that was making millions, and then he took a big pay cut so everybody could make $20-some an hour. Why don't you do that?
Because I want to be above poverty.
Oh, you're not making millions?
Not yet. No, our business has tripled, and we're still... slightly above the salary from which we started, which was...
Kids are still on Medicaid?
Well, no.
Not that bad?
No. No. We have wives with real jobs. So there's that.
That is the key.
Yes.
That helps. Yeah.
I'm sorry if we dove too deep on this episode, because it was... But at the same time, it was something that, in my opinion... No, I only bring this up because
we have no other, I guess, medium in which to do it. Aaron, you're not the guy who's going to be the keyboard warrior or the, you know, the letter to the editor guy, the Helen DeCam or whatever these freaking weirdos are out there that do.
Give him 30 years. He might get there.
Like, well, that's the thing I've been repeatedly told. You know, we just really appreciate that you've come here to talk.
Right. Yeah.
And you're not.
You're not there.
That way we can not tell anyone this ever happened.
Well, that might be half of it, Mitch. But, you know, that's going to be me. If I want to say something about it, I'll come and say it to you. I'm not going to put it on Facebook and on blast.
You wouldn't believe what happened to me.
And blah, blah, blah. And then. No, but I will put it on a podcast. And that's, I mean, you guys thought it was a good idea, too.
Well, 100%.
I can't believe you did this.
I didn't pay $100 to have this time.
Hey, that's like an Laura idea. Did
last time.
Oh, poor Laura. Till next time, we'll see you.
Chippewa on down of the big lake they called Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.